Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. And we've gotten a fighting few today, but we can make it through. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the word of God. How grateful we are for the freedom we have in this country, where we can come, open the Bibles, and to study, and to worship you. Pray, Father, that we glorify you and glorify your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're fighting a few, so we'll kind of postpone the singing. And we were going to sing Faith is My...
Great is My
Faithfulness, because of...
We can sing it.
We can?
We can
go
loud, boys.
All right. Let's do it.
All right, turning your would you turn in your handles to 216?
This is for Kit's teaching this morning. So, great is thy faithfulness. In the study of the faith rest life, it really comes down to his faithfulness. And that's where our faith is based upon, his faithfulness. Okay, let's talk about, first of all, any prayer requests. Now, we've got, I'm assuming that Mackenzie made it through the marriage, and she's married this morning. It's lasted at least that long, and so that'll be good. And people start coming home, and some was coming home. Some were coming home Saturday, but the airlines stopped them in Mexico. So that stopped them from any movement. But I think that today they're getting to move out. So we'll just be in prayer that everybody's home, makes home safely, and move on. Okay, any other prayer requests? Yes.
My mom, Betty, has to have eye surgery on Wednesday.
Your mom has to have eye surgery Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just prayers if that comes out okay.
All right. We'll be in prayer. Thank you. All right, any other prayer requests? Okay, yes.
Yes, again, safe business travel for both myself and Debbie, as we'll both be heading in different directions.
Both of y'all have to move out?
Yeah, just for a couple days during the week.
All right. He had a rough time last week, or was it?
Yeah, I got caught up in the collision southwest.
Oh, wow.
Any other prayer requests? Okay. People, there's just so many things we need to take care of, and financially is a joy that we have to be a part of the plan of God. So let's prepare ourselves for the offering and the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our assembly, Spring Valley Bible Church, the opportunities that we have, the spreading of the gospel. We pray now you receive the offerings that we're about to give. Continue to use these offerings to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Oh, wonderful. Okay, thank you.
Herman, there's a prayer request online saying to pray for the upcoming camp.
Oh, my goodness, absolutely. Whoa, that's big time. So we need to, in fact, we're just going to have some prayer right now, and this is going to be zeroed in on getting ready for the camp and the young people coming in, the teachers coming in. People didn't have any part of it, so let's just spend a moment in prayer for the camp. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we consider it a great privilege to be a part of the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, to young people. Pray, Heavenly Father, you'll be with Chris Daig, be Lori, all the young people, teachers, and that this week, this next week, Heavenly Father, of the conference will be a joy, a privilege, and a challenge. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. So much has changed in our country, and part of that is the structure of our society, and this Sunday, we have, for those that hold to these kinds of things, the set aside of respect of Father's Day. I want to begin with Billy Graham saying, "A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. And I think that's just so true, especially as we move into the time in which we move now. And let's begin by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 103, Psalms 103, and we'll just see, just look at one verse, verse 13. Psalm 103, 13. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. So here we have an attitude that we ought to have, as God does. We learn from him how to have the proper relationship with our children as a parent. The Bible tells us all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. A Christian father, first and greatest responsibility is to acquaint his children with the Word of God. It's the most important thing he's got. One of the reasons this is so important is because what children learn from God will put them in good standing throughout their whole life. We can talk about the importance of the parent, but it's what he learns from God that is going to be strong as far as their life is concerned. Five things I want to just pass away to you. The father who cares must make time for his children. Secondly, they love and respect their parents. This is what a good father will do, teaching his children to love and respect their wives as he respects his wife, their mother. So, by the way, that is also taught in 1 Peter 3:7. Point three, they give loving discipline. Four, and it's in love. Four, they are good communicators. Some parents do not, but a good father does communicate. And then finally, five, they apply God's wisdom in their own lives, and that's how their children will learn it from them. I think one of the finest stories, in my opinion, in regard to parents is from Whitaker Chambers, and the difficulty of so many things that happened in his life in the battle, it was his work with his children. And the first few words of the first chapter deal with the taking his sons, which is what he had, and taught them about the Lord. And it was just so vital and so important. So if we think about Mother's Day, or Father's Day, let's think about the relationship with the Father and the plan of God. Okay, does everyone have an opening or the study? Worship God. Anyone not have it? Worship God. Okay. Now, not only that, you should have a free one, another little added we just finished. And those of you on the internet, you'll have to either get the passages in the internet or just listen to it. But four different passages that we're going to be looking at. So, let's begin with the Word of God. Purpose of the Word of God, praying to Him to open His Word to us that we might learn. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. how grateful we are for the Holy Spirit. Pray that He will open our eyes to things You'd have us to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, first of all, you know, if you have the handout, the first one is Ephesians 1:10. That's ours, New American Standard Version. Now, I'm going to read it, and too many people get lost in what this verse is about. So that's why we're going to read some other passages, other Bibles, and their way they interpret it. The New American Standard reads pretty close right to the text, but you're going to get lost in it. But let's read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, New American Standard. With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth in Him. Now that is about straight from the reading of the Bible, the Greek text. But a lot of people are going to get lost there. So the next one I want to read is First Ephesians 1, verse 10. Let's read from the NIV. A lot of people seem to be able to read the NIV. To be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. To be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Another one, CBCSB, as a plan for the right time. That's pretty simple. To bring everything together in Christ. So let's just see where it's going to be looked in verse 10. As a plan for the right time. To bring everything together in Christ. Both things in heaven and things on earth in Him. And if you still are kind of lost in it, we're going to read the Living Bible, and that's Ephesians 1:10. And this was His purpose, that when the time is ripe, He will gather us all together from wherever we are, in heaven or on earth, to be with Him in Christ forever. So this is four different ways to look at it. We're going to concentrate on the New American Standard Version because that's studying on the Bible, and that's what we're going to be doing. But I wanted to read these others so that you could feel the understanding of what's going on with it. Any kind of questions you have, raise your arm, hand, and I'll read them again. We'll get it done. And so let's take a look now. Let's make clear the fullness of the times and the summing up all things in Christ. We got two things we're looking at. Ephesians 1:10. With a view to an administration or a dispensation to the fullness of the times. That is, through the fulfillment of the times. So that's the flow of what we're looking at now. Two things I want to draw attention to. First, the Greek word for time is not the normal word for time. Secondly, note it is in the plural, the fullness of the times plural. Let's understand this is a distinct period of time. So we've been talking about this time, and what we're talking about is a distinct period of time. Or a time as an epoch. An epoch. It is used for dispensations or even as a succession of events in one dispensation. It can mean the fulfillment of the times, that is the measure of epochs in period of times or in the period of measure of the dispensation. So we've got all of that in that one thing. Now, look at the fullness, which means full measure. Let's specify this phrase to the fulfillment of measurement of epochs. Fulfillment of the measurement of epochs or the full measure of dispensations, which refers to the last and the full measure of all dispensations. This refers to the fullness of all the time in human history of the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having all of that, I want to go back and read with you the TLB and see where we are. And this was his purpose, that when the time is ripe, he will gather all together from wherever we are. And that's what we're in the midst of looking in our passage. Now, continuing in verse 10, with reference to the dispensation of the fulfillment of measure of time, that is the summing up of all things, talking about all the things in history. Now, we have to understand the fullness of the times, and in addition, now, summing up of all things. This is referring to the time of mankind from creation to the end of human time. This Greek word is used only twice in the entire New Testament. This word means to sum up, to gather up, to bring together, or even to unite. So the word that we have occurs only twice in the Greek New Testament, and it means to sum up all history, to gather up, to bring together all history, to unit, to bring everyone under one head, or to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, that is, under Christ. What this verse is saying is that everything has been put under Jesus Christ as the head of all times and all things and all people is under Jesus Christ. To help you grasp what is being taught with this word, this summing up of all things, this Greek word is used only here in Ephesians 1:10 and Romans chapter 13, verse 9. Romans 13:9. For this, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, I love when Paul does it every now and then. He'll just talk about it and everything else that I haven't talked about. And that's what he's doing here. All right. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed, and that's our word, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that's the two words that this word is used. Now, this one law, love your neighbor as yourself, summarizes or is summing up all laws under this one. All the common, the laws by God under this one. Therefore, to make this clear, this verse brings all things in heaven and earth under Jesus Christ. So here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, it means to bring together under one head. To bring together everything under Jesus Christ. And in all things under the heavens and all the things on earth, when it is a perfect full time, when it is a perfect full time, that causes God to bring to a point where it all was right before God to bring all things to the glory of God. See, right now this isn't happening. This is not happening since Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden. It is going to, but not yet. Now, when is this? This is going to happen, know what it says? This is a reference to the millennium. So let's just take a quick look at the point about the millennium. People, we could spend hours and hours on the millennium. But let's just pick up a few things that we have in our soul, because we're talking about the fullness of all the time in history when God is ready for Christ to be in rule. One, this is the millennium or the age of Christ. Two, this will start off with learning from God how eternity is going to be. It will start off in perfect environment. The millennium will start off in perfect environment. One reason for the perfect environment will be because Satan will be bound as per Revelation 21-3. Another reason why this perfect environment is going to be is that there will be no religion starting off in the millennium. Satan will not be operated and no religion. The beginning of the millennium is so wonderful because there is no Satan. Remember, the perfect condition of mankind continued until Satan came in and led man and woman into sin. We don't know how long that was. We don't know how long Adam and Eve lived in the garden. Not told. But as long as they did, it was just perfect. No Satan, no religion. They just had a wonderful, wonderful time. Okay. Now, religion led mankind to the sinful condition of the flood. Then religion led man to the period of the construction of the Tower of Babel. It was religion that put the period of the church age into darkness, because the religion of the Roman Catholic Church tried to keep mankind from the study of the Bible. We studied that a few months ago. Today, and by the way, I got a nice comments from that different people, so we're going to come back at some point and look at the history of the church. Today, one of the strongest sinful movements is from religion. Religion advances homosexuality and the breakdown of the family, family of the husband, the father and mother. Perfect environment cannot exist where there is religion. Religion is not Christianity, and Christianity is not religion. Religion cannot and will not be stopped or destroyed by mankind. Jesus Christ will end religion at the beginning of the millennium. And that's what we're looking at in our study of Ephesians 1:10. Talks about all these things will be fulfilled at this time. And part of that will be the removing of Satan and removing of religion. Now, point three. One of the most wonderful events in the beginning of the millennium will be the most conducive favorite for spirituality throughout the world. In other words, in this period, spirituality will be the highest it has been in human history. Joel chapter 2, starting at verse 28. It will come about after this that I will pour out my Spirit, Holy Spirit, on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. It's going to be unbelievable. The place of the Holy Spirit in the human race. That's what we're looking at. The timing of this in Ephesians 1:10. Now point 12, 4. In the millennium, there will be the peace of Jerusalem. Now, people throughout Jerusalem have signs. When we were in Israel, did y'all see them too? No. We would travel around and that would be the sign. There'd be a sign. Peace in Jerusalem. Bring peace in Jerusalem. Pray for peace in Jerusalem. Over and over and over. The prayer for peace in Jerusalem is for the coming of the Messiah. Look at Psalm 122:6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Remember, there are some historical events that must come before the peace of Jerusalem. Before the peace of Jerusalem can come, the rapture of the church must occur. The tribulation must occur. Return of Jesus Christ, Armageddon, and the taking out of unbelieving Gentiles and removal of all unbelieving Jews from the earth. All this must happen in this world before the peace of Jerusalem covers over the world. You can study Isaiah 65:19, Joel 2:16 and following, Zechariah 10:6-12. But remember, what we're looking at is Ephesians 1:10. When all these things are summoned, all these things are called together by God, this is what's going to be happening. That brings us to point 5. The millennium will experience the fulfillment of the unconditional covenants to Israel, mentioned in Daniel 9:24. This will be the fulfillment of the Abrahamic, Postillion, and the Davidic, and the new covenant to Israel. No matter all the anti-Semitic movements in history, like in World War II, will not end the existence of Jews, for God is going to keep His word. I start to say I don't enjoy, but Judith and I will spend a lot of time when it, we catch it in the, on the TV, various things, World War II. The one we just saw recently actually got into pictures. They took pictures, they showed pictures of how the Jews were killed, raped, all the things that happened at this time. It was so hard for me, personally, to sit and watch this stuff. But it was happening. And it happened through the history. And it may happen again. It may happen in time real close to where we are today. But God will always be faithful. And Jews will always be here. Okay, point six. This will be perfect environment here on earth for the first time since the sin of Adam. Isaiah 6:4, Hosea 2:18, Psalm 46:9, Micah 4:3. This will accompany universal prosperity. Psalm 72:7 and 16. There will be perfect world peace, as in Isaiah 11:1-2 and Zechariah 14:9. All of this is going to be what we're studying in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. There it is, falling apart. But that's what's going to happen in this time frame. See? Now, 7. Something else that many of us will love in the millennium. Perfect, fair justice. This is going to be wonderful. Let's just look at Isaiah 13:1. He will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge, this is Jesus Christ, he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make decision by his ears, what his ears hear. Then verse 4, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted on the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt around his waist. Now, this is just an unbelievable thing, how fair the law is going to be in the period of the millennium. It's going to be unbelievable. Now, you understand, it will start with two classes of people. Jews who cannot do anything out of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, believers, Gentiles, who have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And it is going to start off in an unbelievable period. But it won't be long before those wonderful things we call children come along and sin starts coming in. Sin starts fighting and it's going to get worse and worse. And you go to the judge. You go to the judge at this time. That will be Jesus Christ. Okay, one more. 8. The millennium begins with a population of believers only. I just wanted to remind you of this. All civilization begins with believers only. This will change in the millennium, after the millennium, as the population increases. But Ephesians 1:10 now is where we are, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times. So now, hopefully, you're starting to see the reading of this does make sense now. I know Ephesians 1:10 in the New American Standard doesn't, but as you more put things together, it starts coming together. With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heavens and things on earth in him. At the end of all things, God the Father will gather all things in Christ, making all things into the eternal world, the eternal state. Now, to see all this is involved, let's look at voice 10, but I want you to note the saving of this of verse 10 in 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. Okay, do you understand that? That then comes all the end. When he, Jesus Christ, hands over the kingdom to the God and Father. When he has abolished all, he, Jesus Christ, has abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Here we see the end of all history. The divine authority reaches into all creation. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, now verse 26 and 27. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. End of death for the victory by Jesus Christ and his resurrection. But just want you to understand, the last enemy that will be abolished is death. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For he has put all things, that's what we looked at in verse 16, in verse 10, all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that this excludes the Father who put all things in subjection to him. Okay. I want you to put the Bible together, this whole book, the perfect worshiping place of the beginning of the earth as seen by Adam and Eve in the garden. But then all is torn in history of the earth as seen in Genesis chapters 1 through 3. The end of time will be the beginning of the eternal blessing for all who are in him, as per Revelation 22. So there's the whole flow of the Bible. All tore in Genesis 1 through 3, and so seen throughout the whole Bible, but then in Revelation chapter 22, all will be in peace and glory for all eternity. People, it is so unfortunate. There are so many people who do not understand Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Just do not. And they'll argue about it, talk about it, make it different things, but it is so important. In fact, I think Genesis 1 through 11 are crucial to grasping the whole Bible, understanding it whenever you're reading it, wherever, because of those chapters. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:28. When all things, that's what we're studying in Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 1:10. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who subjected all things to himself, so that God may be all in all. This is talking about Jesus Christ submitting himself to God the Father in the plan here. Now, We're ready to move on in our study. Ephesians 1:11. I got wonderful news for you. In the next, three or four weeks, we're going to start moving and make time in Ephesians chapter 1. I know you don't believe me, but you just show up and we're going to make some time in Ephesians 1, 10 and following. Here's verse 11. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. Okay. The New American Standard loses some of the dynamic of Jesus Christ in the opening of verse 11. Now, the way we have it now in the New American Standard, it says, also we. Now, the text, the Greek text says, in whom also. That is, in Jesus Christ. Meaning that Jesus Christ is the continually doing wonderful glories in His own works. So it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. This is just a single word, obtained inheritance, and inheritance is a single word in the Greek, and is the only time this New Testament appears in the New Testament, is right here. Obtained an inheritance. Now, here is something that is important to every believer. I told you I'm not going to develop too much dealing with Greek, study it. But when it's something that will give you benefit, I've got to do it. This is benefit. We have obtained an inheritance. This is an aorist, passive, indicative, translated, we have obtained an inheritance, which I'm going to show you how important it is. First of all, the passive voice. This means that we receive this inheritance in our relationship with God. Also, the aorist tense plus the indicative mood means, listen, all believers already possess this inheritance. That's the Greek here. The passive, the aorist indicative means this has already happened. This isn't going to happen. It's already happened. Every one of us already has been assured of this inheritance. Also, the passive voice tells us we need not obtain this by our works, by our trying to do it, by working real hard, but by the grace of God in Christ, who just gives it to us. That's the passive voice. People, this is a wonderful grace gift we have already received from Jesus Christ. There are many such gifts that have already been given us. Since you have already received many gifts from God, do not ever become sad about life. Well, I'm getting older now. I don't have this, and I don't have that. I don't drive the car. I don't have the marriage. I don't have this. I don't have that. All these types of things. Forget all of that. Put it all aside. Just sit there and think about your inheritance. What you're going to have. Don't even think about it. What you're inheriting here on earth. What you're not inheriting. A lot of people inherit it. A lot of people not going to inherit anything. My parents don't have anything. Just put all of that aside. Enjoy life, but move on. and just have your thinking on inheritance. You've already obtained. See, this is already yours. So don't be sad about life. Don't be sad and fearful about it. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and following. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. Suffer with Him deals with the faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. I'm old, already crossed through a lot. I've got children. We now have us some great-grandchildren. I am so fearful of where they're going to have to live for in the next 20 years. I'll be gone. I'll be at peace with Jesus Christ. But others are going to have to stay here. And here's the joy, the peace that I would give them. They have this glory already promised to them. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, whatever it may be, America has been in a little covered area set aside. That's changing now. We don't have that hiding anymore. We're like all the other nations in history. And so it is going to be sufferings. But don't even worry about those. They're not to be considered worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. We haven't even had it revealed yet. That's what's beautiful to me. We haven't even had it revealed yet. It's getting so exciting. It hadn't even been revealed yet. America was clothed in grace in this nation for a long time. But now we're moving to be like nations throughout history and suffer in Christ. Also, I read that in the world, that there are 1 million people claiming to be Christ dying every year. 1 million dying every year because of believing in Jesus Christ. And I think that's getting to be worse in our own country. But let's take a look now. Remember 1 Corinthians 3:21 and 23. For 1:21, so then, let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. That is just so marvelous. I don't want to get a car. I don't get this. Don't got that. Look what you've got. You belong to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has belonged to God, and you belong to Him. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In whom also, in Jesus Christ, whom also we have already obtained this inheritance, having been predestined. The Greek word translated predestined means to determine or to set boundaries beforehand. That's what this word means. To set boundaries beforehand. This boundary given to us has already been set there. The only subject for the Greek verb is in the whole of the Old Bible. You can read the whole New Testament, and the only subject of the Greek verb is God or His own plan. That's by the Complete Biblical Library. You will note from Ephesians 1:5 speaks of those whom God has determined beforehand as adoptions. Ephesians 1:11 speaks of those determined beforehand according to the purpose of God. You will also note here that the use of the passive voice again. We've just noted the word obtained an inheritance, and with the passive voice, how we received it. Here, we see it again, used to reveal that every believer in the church age receives from the purpose of God predestined, predetermined. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predetermined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. A correct study of the entire New Testament will make known to all those who study the Word of God God's purpose to give honor to those in the church age who have an inheritance with Jesus Christ. What it's saying is this: we are the first to glorify Jesus Christ, those in the church age. How great is that? We can read from Genesis. We can read a period of the Gentiles, a period of the Jews, all about history. But if you study all of the Bible, the greatest joy to the glory to Jesus Christ is from us in the church age. Romans 8:24, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. The teaching of this verse is to understand it. The called according to the people is a reference to the church age. So look at what it says. To those who are called according to His purpose, that refers to everyone in the church age. Now, we move to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. Hey, boy, look at there. Started off at verse 9. Here we are tonight. We're closing it down. But here will be verse 12. To the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. That's you and me in the church age. To the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ, we were the first to hope in Christ, would be to the praise of His glory. Now, I want to start right here with the glory, so we'll pick it up here. It could be next Sunday at Fassel, and we've got to figure out how things are going to be in the next few weeks, but we'll get it back in and make some heavy ground in this. So, any questions? All right, let's close a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this has been a little complex, a little rich. It's what we're here for. We're here to study it. We're here to understand it. Not just given the light stuff. We're here, Heavenly Father, to understand the Word of God. That we, Heavenly Father, can continue to grow, to mature the study and understanding of the Word of God, and by this maturity, really experience a calmness, a peace, no matter what happens in the world, no matter what happens in our own lives. We just rest at peace the more we understand and learn. We thank you so much for telling us and showing us these things. We pray that we will go over these things in our souls, get them well embedded to our being, that we will understand the glory of Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.